Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 19th of May, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets firm, including some new highs led by China. And European stock markets also firm. And I think the DAX briefly touched a new high here today. And Wall Street, which had a good day yesterday, Wall Street was in the plus column for most of the time, but just lost that at the close. But we're talking small declines, 29 points on the Dow, 1.5 points, not percent, 1.5 points down on the S&P. It's bringing it back to 908, and we had a very modest gain on the NASDAQ composite index. Now elsewhere, long-dated government bonds were weaker, and particularly bunds, euro bunds, and we also saw a softer dollar. And that dollar index has come down to 82.076. Sterling was stronger. The Antipodean currencies were also stronger. And precious metals were firmer in here today. Gold is, they're range bound, but gold is trading at 925. Silver, July silver, it's currently up 33 at 1416. It had been as high as 1429.5. And platinum's steady here. It had a good day yesterday and small extension on the upside today, currently 1146.30. Natural gas was down a little bit, oil very steady near the $60 level. Most of the soft commodities were steady as well. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, the big story is stock markets. And the change in sentiment behind all this, of course, is, as it's been mentioned, I say of course because we've mentioned it many times, is that whereas people were pretty well discounting Armageddon, or at least a depression, then we don't really know what Armageddon is like, do we? But the depression would be bad enough. And so that's what they were talking about, as if it was a fact, not a possibility. And markets, stock markets were reflecting this. And yet we have seen the greatest attempt at asset reflation in history. And not surprisingly, that has certainly supported asset markets, and people are also realizing that in terms of economic activity that we are seeing some stabilization. Now, there's a bit of a counter between stabilization and a sustainable recovery, but stabilization, when people were discounting a depression, more than justifies the rebound that we've seen so far, which was fueled by of course, a lot of short covering, but then the biggest cash positions that institutional shareholders have, or institutional investment managers, rather, have had for many a bear market past. And, of course, we have a background of quantitative easing, of which there's been plenty, and there may be a bit more, where interest rates are at extremely low levels, and where inflation statistically is very low. That's a very positive environment for equities, though it always has been in the past, and this does not really seem to be any exception. Now, with some of these stock market rallies, most of them, in fact, in their 11th week on the upside, and for many of them, that's 11 consecutive weeks, led by Fuller Money themes, I might add, that it would hardly be surprising if we saw markets roll over and experience a consolidation. Now, I've said that before recently, and of course they don't have to do that. They can rally a bit further due to all the factors that I mentioned previously, not least the weight of cash and the growing anxiety among investors who took the much more cautious route that they're missing out on the action in here. So we before we get a meaningful reaction in consolidation, what would a meaningful reaction in consolidation look like? Well, it would break the short-term uptrends, and we would also see the step sequence of these small trading range consolidations interrupted. In other words, we'd see a lower low, whereas we've just had an unbroken progression of lower rally highs now. And beg your pardon, we've just had an unbroken progression of higher rally lows, higher rally lows. So every time we've seen a markets push ahead and then pause for a little bit, they've established a higher low than the previous one. And that has been the case over the last 11 weeks for laggards such as Wall Street and much of Europe. And of course, the stronger areas, notably China, India, more recently, and the South American markets earlier on, had been doing this for quite some time, with a number of them breaking above their 200-day moving averages. And it'll not be all too long. At some point next month, those moving averages will start to turn upwards in a number of instances. So we also have a focal point here that I mentioned in last night's audio, in that where we had visible reactions in these markets at last week, because there's no doubt that the rally had said slowed, can't go up every day, then we watch last week's reaction lows. Now, the reaction low didn't occur last week with all of them. For instance, with I think the reaction low to date for Australia, for instance, it's a bit of an odd man out in this in terms of conformity, but that drifted, I think, a little lower yesterday, but had a steadier performance in here today. But what we really want to do is work on a commonality basis. And for evidence that the staircase ascent that we're seeing, a staircase ascent which you'll see on the daily charts most clearly, evidenced by a little sideways trading range lasting anything from a few days to a couple of weeks, and then a step upwards by that index. And they've been mostly one step above the other, so thus the descriptive phrase, staircase upward trend. To interrupt that, we would need to see a number of these indices, not least those of Wall Street, break down beneath last week's reaction lows. Now, that hasn't happened yet, and Wall Street is much closer to last week's highs. So what we have is an environment where the Wall Street leash effect is still positive. It's been positive since that March low. And that creates an environment, of course, where other markets, with backed by better fundamentals and without the financial insolvency crisis that has been such a problem for Europe and the USA, those markets can romp ahead at a faster rate, which is exactly what they've done overall. But basically, there are no bearish stock market index chart patterns right now. It's just that some are more bullish than others, and some have clearly led on this move overall. And my guess is that they will remain high beta when we get that reaction and consolidation that we've talked about, but then they will perform again on the upside. And this looks certainly does this no longer looks like a bear market. Inevitably, lots of people will say, well, or still hold on to the view that it's a bear market rally. Some of them will hold on to that view because they're not participating. And some others will say, well, we need more proof. And that's always happens. But the action, if you weigh up the technical factors, is so overwhelmingly more bullish than bearish in terms of indicating that the bear market is over. And if the bear market is over, then we're already in the earlier stages of a new bull market. The time to be worried will be when everybody acknowledges that it's a bull market, because they really can't claim anything else without sounding silly. And when markets are soaring on euphoria, and when analysts are extrapolating earnings increases higher, and when central banks are removing the punch bowl by withdrawing liquidity from the markets and raising short-term interest rates. Now, fortunately, we don't have to hold our breath in expectation that that's going to happen anytime very soon. I would not be at all surprised if it was not happening next year at some point, but we'll see. We don't know. It's pointless to guess on this. There are too many variables at play. And I mentioned at the beginning of this discussion that what we were seeing is economic stabilization, and that there's a gulf. I think I use the term counter, but a gulf between economic stabilization and a full-on recovery. Well, my guess is that the emerging markets, mainly fuller money themes, will show signs of genuine recovery long before the OECD laggard markets overall. But I don't doubt that there are myriad problems out there on a longer term basis, but it's certainly not all gloom. And actually, in terms of monetary policy, in terms of fiscal policy, in terms of sentiment, this is a very attractive environment in which to be invested. Tactically, I think at this stage, well, I've wound down my leveraged stock market long positions. That means I don't have any of them anymore. I had quite a number of them earlier in the year. But not today, and I'm not inclined to add any today. That's a cautious stance, influenced slightly by the fact that I am going on holiday next week. But I will certainly be a buyer as and when we get that next reaction, or that's my feeling at this time. And I'm very likely to do. Meanwhile, moving on to other areas, I'm lightly short in the long-dated government bond market. I've played the bunds, but they're pretty well all going to move together. And in terms of other opportunities here, the steady action in precious metals is encouraging. The time factor says we'll still have to be patient, or suggests that we'll still have to be patient. But markets don't always have to conform to these historical time sequences. They certainly didn't with stock markets on the way down. But all this reflation and all the quantitative easing and so on really does help to underpin these precious metals for the medium to longer term, and ditto the commodity prices generally. So I like those sectors. I don't have any copper or nickel at the moment. I was tempted to buy some nickel here early today, but I thought, well, just wait till you get back from holiday. Don't. There's not much Wi-Fi in Wales, or I haven't discovered any. So I'm being a little cautious in here, but I do have some decent precious metals positions. The big one's silver, the second biggest one is platinum, and the third biggest is in gold bullion. And I think that's, oh, I also have I have a dollar short position. I've had several dollar short positions over the last few months, and all fortunately leading to profitable trades. I've also had yen short positions. My current dollar short position is against the Norwegian crown. And I think that's pretty much it for another day. So, once again, all the very best to all of you.